China Pac-Mans up another slice of America.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. What do you do when you have a lot of cash hanging around? If you're China, you take $3 billion of it and buy into the hottest thing going right now, private equity superstar, the Blackstone Group. The less than 10% stake in Blackstone is just low enough to fly under scrutiny of the feds. You may remember Blackstone recently said it was going to take itself public. Meanwhile, private equity has a hand in the other big news this morning. Goldman Sachs and the former Texas Pacific Group are buying wireless provider Altel. Price tag, $27.5 billion. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow closed up 80 points to 13,556. The NASDAQ closed up 19 to 2558. And the S&P closed up 10 to 1522. The Senate begins debate on comprehensive immigration reform today. Despite a hard-won compromise reached last week, congressional approval is far from a sure thing. From Washington, John Dimsdale reports.
Under the proposal, undocumented immigrants would get more preference points for job skills over family ties. The Brookings Institution's Audrey Singer says that's a big change.
By prioritizing skills and deprioritizing family, we're moving away from what we stood for a long time.
The compromise is under attack from lawmakers on the right who think the proposal is too easy on illegal immigrants, and from the left who think the lengthy path to citizenship will only encourage more illegal behavior. California Democrat Dianne Feinstein, who helped craft the deal, acknowledges it won't make everyone happy.
To the American people, I'd like to say, please, 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 don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
In today's first test, at least 60 senators will have to vote to bring the compromise up for debate. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
You've heard about the health concerns about the cell phone. Now come the questions about what's floating around because of all these Wi-Fi hotspots. From London, Stephen Beard says there's a call to investigate their safety.
The head of the UK's main health and safety watchdog, the Health Protection Agency, has called for a review of the risks posed by Wi-Fi in schools. Now, this follows an investigation by a British TV show which indicated that radiation levels in one particular school classroom were three times greater than from a cell phone transmitting mast.
I know everybody's always studying the dangers of cell phones. Is there any evidence to suggest that the Wi-Fi hotspots are dangerous themselves?
No, there is no evidence at all. The radiation levels that were measured in the school classroom were 600 times lower than the prescribed international safety limit. But there are some British scientists who are now saying that these limits are based on incomplete science. We simply do not fully understand how Wi-Fi signals affect the brain. The assumption has been that any harmful effect comes from heating up of the brain. But the skeptics are saying maybe these low-intensity radio waves have other effects that we don't fully understand.
I know everywhere in America, Stephen, there are hotspots now. What about in the UK?
It's pretty widespread. There are some 30,000 Wi-Fi hotspots around the country. One or two cities here have gone completely Wi-Fi, and it is now very prevalent in schools.
That's Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. By SHRM, whose annual conference starts June 24th in Las Vegas, focusing on helping HR professionals align people strategies with business goals, SHRM.org. And by The Economist magazine, which tells not only what's happening around the world each week, but why. The Economist. At newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com.
Now, here's a captive audience for marketers, the barber's chair. Public health officials are turning to hair salons and barbershops to deliver health information. From WCPN in Cleveland, Mari Saito reports.
Henry Jenkins doesn't go to his local barbershop just for a haircut. He goes to chat with friends who drop in from the neighborhood. That was the plan on a fall day in 2005, but a nurse was there offering free health screenings.
So the other barbers, they say, well, you're a senior citizen, you're 64 years old, you should, while you got a chance, and it's right here, before you take it, you know, don't be hard-headed. I said, I'll take it some other time.
Jenkins says that's usually his answer whenever anyone tells him to go to the doctor, but the barbers, his friends, didn't let up. It turned out that Jenkins' blood pressure was so high, the nurse sent him to the hospital where they diagnosed diabetes and kept him for 3 days.
I could have been dead. I could have been dead, deceased.
Jenkins can thank the Greater Cleveland Health Education and Service Council. They sponsor health screenings twice a year in 10 black-owned barbershops in Cleveland. Sandra Farmer is the executive director. She says they wanted to get health information out to a tough-to-reach population, black men without health insurance.
Men communicate with one another in the barbershops. They talk about everything from sports to women to health. And so we thought that that would be a good place to find them.
And research shows the barbershop model works for women too. Dr. Dawn Kleindorfer of the University of Cincinnati followed customers at beauty salons in Cincinnati and Atlanta who had learned about stroke from their stylists. She found that clients could list the warning signs even 5 months after their appointments.
So it wasn't just a transient thing that they were spitting back to us. They remembered it for the long term.
Barbers trained up by nonprofits like Clevelander Wendell Lovelace says these campaigns work because of the unique relationship between clients and their stylists.
They do value our opinion, you know. I guess we are the poor man's psychiatrist.
Lovelace doesn't get a penny for it, but he's happy to talk up heart health as he trims hair. He says whether customers make the fitness and diet changes is up to them, but his barber seat is always open if any client wants to talk about it. In Cleveland, I'm Mari Saito for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day. American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.